your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Hurricane force winds bear down on California, the latest in a stretch of extreme weather, as other areas see snow. CBS meteorologist Bill Kelly in Philadelphia is tracking it.
Snow working across parts of Utah, the Four Corners region. Not a big storm, but enough that for your Christmas, we are going to see the rain and snow there in this part of the country. Rain and wind up for the Pacific Northwest.
Snow is also in the forecast along the northern U.S. border with Canada, including North Dakota and Minnesota, and parts of the Northeast from New York to Maine. CBS's Kelly O'Grady with more on President-elect Donald Trump's comments regarding the Panama Canal.
President-elect Trump is threatening to take over the Panama Canal unless it cuts the price it charges for passage through the vital shipping lane.
The fees being charged by Panama are ridiculous, highly unfair. This complete ripoff of our country will immediately stop.
Panamanian President Jose Molino swung back, saying every square meter of the Panama Canal and its adjacent area belong to Panama.
Haiti's Online Media Association says two reporters have been killed and several have been wounded in a gang attack at the reopening of Port-au-Prince's biggest public hospital. A police officer has also reportedly died. Street gangs had forced the hospital's closure early this year, but authorities had pledged to reopen the facility on Christmas Eve. Another twist in the increasingly bitter dispute between actors Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni. More from CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Lively has accused her It Ends With Us director and co-star Justin Baldoni of harassment and retaliation on the set of the movie after she alleged misconduct. And she says Baldoni, the studio behind the movie, and Baldoni's publicists tried to destroy her reputation. Now Baldoni's ex-publicist Stephanie Jones has sued him, his production company, and two other publicists. In the suit, she alleges there was a conspiracy to harm her reputation and steal clients from her firm and blame her for the campaign against Lively.
5 years after a fire in 2019 nearly destroyed Paris's beloved 12th century cathedral, Notre Dame once again celebrates Christmas Eve masses. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot is now $1 billion. CBS's Chris John Benavides reports from Miami.
Instead of dreaming of a white Christmas, Mega Millions players are hoping for green as the jackpot reaches $1 billion.
Only when it's big, I play.
It's a pretty big drawing, and you got to play to win, right?
If someone wins, it would only be the second time a Mega Millions jackpot was drawn on Christmas Eve. The last one was in 2002.
The cash payment option is $448.8 million. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Comer, sports broadcaster on WIRI. I'd just like to wish a very Merry Christmas from my family to you and yours.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, few foggy areas, lows upper teens to near 20, and more clouds for Christmas Day, a high in the low 30s. Mild ahead with a slight rain chance later Thursday, better rain chance for Friday and Saturday. Highs in the upper 30s Thursday, low 40s Friday and Saturday. It's 24 right now.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Director's Cut. We appreciate you joining us so much for this Christmas edition and a Christmas tradition around here. As I think this is our third.
Yeah. Inviting our esteemed colleague, Melissa Kay, to join us for Christmas. So it's not just the news. She gets to have a little fun with us, too.
I'm now your esteemed colleague?
You are esteemed colleague, yeah.
Christmas spirit infected him. I think that's likely because I have never heard those words come out of his mouth.
You've made it to a point in your career where you're esteemed. Like, that's something it's a goal of mine to, like, make it to a point where people refer to me that way.
Am I esteemed like a dumpling, or am I esteemed like a, I don't know, a spinach, because I prefer the dumpling.
All right.
I cannot express to the audience how busy Melissa is. We really appreciate you being able to make the time to hang out with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
What we're going to do today is discuss Santa. We're talking about not the guy himself, not the actual man in charge or anything, but the actors who have played Santa over the years. Certainly been a lot of Christmas movies in history, so we're going to kind of get into this one.
I would like you to know the excessive amount of research that I did for this.
Oh, wow.
I watched one entire movie and 9 trailers.
Perfect.
And also, half of those trailers I watched in double speed, just so I could get here on time.
You can't say she didn't do her homework.
Oh, cram. I did.
She crammed.
And maybe we'll find out from Melissa, you only needed to watch one. Maybe you found your Santa right away.
I did.
I think for a lot of us, actually, that I say it out loud, that we have, like, you watch other movies with other Santas, but there's always that one Santa in your head.
You always come back to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you refer to. So I'll go ahead and give the list, and then we'll kind of give our mentions in and everything, okay. Give ours. And, of course, we encourage you in the comments or reaching out to us with your favorite Santas,
of course.
Everybody, especially if we forget anybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because this is not an extensive list.
No, yeah. Nor exhaustive. Yeah.
Right.
So tons of actors have played Santa Claus in the movies, but who played him the best? Well, according to a list, here are your answers. Now, you guys want to go from 10 on up? I think that's a fun.
Yes,
or 8. Yeah, 10.
No,
I'm sorry, 10.
10.
Let's start at 10, yeah.
So starting at number 10, the great Ed Avery from A Nightmare Before Christmas from 1993. Wonderful
kind of a
voice actor.
Santa.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. Wonderful voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
And a very, like, if I got to find Santa's voice, that's it. I can't get any of your main big names or anything. I think that's a great one.
That's a, like Melissa kind of, you know, it's a little different take on Santa, considering the movie. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of almost more a Halloween movie than a Christmas movie, even though it's a Christmas story, but I don't know. It's
it can be used for both. Tim Burton was trying to combine them. No.
Well,
save time, Halloween and Christmas together.
Like
also
a lot
Tim
of things.
Burton, so, you know, you really can't go wrong.
Mm-mm.
Very off, a little side, you know, a little shifted.
It was a little close to my heart. I love that one.
Yes, it is.
I love how human Santa sounds in it. Like, to me, like, he's as jolly as you expect him and all that.
Right.
But there are moments where he's being put in some really, really tough situations.
Not very awkward for Santa, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that you don't hear Santa in those situations very often, but still keeps the jolly, still keeps the cheer to the voice and everything. At number 9, Billy Bob Thornton from Bad Santa from 2003.
Now, I must say, I did not actually get through this trailer because this one's a hard no for me.
Oh, okay. No Billy Bob Thornton for you, huh?
Not a Santa. No. It's just wrong. Wrong.
Could not agree more. maybe like number, like if we were doing a list of worst Santas,
maybe.
Which, to be fair, is kind of the note of the movie of Bad Santa.
He's a bad Santa.
Which,
true. Yeah.
Which
bad at it.
Just kind of shows maybe he's an even better actor than I'm giving him credit for. I don't know. I mean, because he really makes it like the character. There's nothing really likable about the character so much. And what is even likable about him, it feels so written in, feels so shoehorned in. Like, it's not a great, to me, it's not a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great performance necessarily. But it's one that gets brought up on these lists all the time.
It
right.
does. And I have to say, you know, when we do get to my favorite Christmas movie, you're going to find this little awkward. Odd, I guess, maybe. But this one does not in any way say Christmas spirit to me.
No.
It's kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah.
It's very funny. This came out the same year as Elf in 2003. Yeah. And they both have become sort of, I mean, Elf very much so has become a very traditional Christmas for a lot of families.
Yeah, it's
they really
up there as high as like Charlie Brown.
Exactly. So this is kind of like the counter programming, I guess you'd say, because I'm sure there's plenty of misanthropes out there who don't like Christmas at all. Are like, yeah, I want Billy Bob Thornton, nasty Santa kind of thing.
At number 8, the great J.K. Simmons in Claws from 2019. Now, this is an animated film, but I think as an honorable mention or outside the lines, J.K. in the new Red One movie plays Santa physically. And do I mean physically? You have never seen Santa built before.
He's ripped, man.
And it's not just for looks. Like, they make it make sense in the story. Like, of course Santa would have to be in good shape. He hits every house in the world. Like, you're not going to...
I like that idea.
The traditional idea of that roly-poly, holly-jolly guy is a great image, but it doesn't really line up with the storyline. Mm-hmm. Like, this, they really, like, work with the traditions and make the character work into it to where, yes, Santa would have to be in some pretty dang good shape to be able to do this and everything. And J.K. Simmons, like he does with every role, goes all in and makes... I'm speaking more to the Red One character of him playing Santa. Like, that, he's in my top 10 as Santa. He did a great job.
That's really cool.
He really, like, especially, I've seen him, and all of us have pretty much seen him play such dark characters. Mm-hmm. He really lightens himself up and makes this character very likable.
That's, which is good, which is good. And, you know, he's, it's funny because as for such an intense actor, some of, all of his roles are so, he's got so much charisma. Yeah. That just exudes on all of the things he does. I mean, he makes an insurance sales guy look good, you know?
Yeah.
With the State Farm commercials. Right. He's even good at that.
Yeah. He really is, yeah.
Oh, and I have to say, after watching the trailer for this one, I really want to watch it. It looks like a great movie.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, yeah. Mm-hmm. At number 7, David Harborough from Violent Night from 2022.
Okay, this is the one I watched.
Okay.
And this is why. Because I watched it last year, and I thought it was fantastic. And so I had to watch it again this year.
Okay.
And this, for me, is the diehard of Christmas movies. Because it's an actual Christmas movie featuring Santa, but it's... in the diehard theme.
An action film, right?
It is very much an action film. And this Santa is ripped.
Yeah.
I mean, you only get to see very briefly in one short little scene, but it's good. It's good.
David Harbour.
And it has the Viking undertones of actually reason why he is ripped.
Which is really interesting. And does anyone look more like a Viking than David Harbour?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Seriously. He's one of the, I mean, he's kind of perfect. It's funny that because J.K. Simmons, you know, in Red One, he's ripped and stuff, but he's still kind of a small guy.
Yeah.
David Harbour is not a small man.
No.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
And to say that's kind of the best of both worlds. He's big, but he's also, you know, kind of thing, which is really cool.
I just learned there's going to be a 2.
Oh,
yeah.
He confirmed
it. Was that successful? That's great.
Yeah, he confirmed it on like his socials here a little bit. They haven't like officially said it's happening, but if he said it's happening, I believe it.
I believe it.
If Santa said it, I'm going to believe it.
It's hard to tell a new Christmas story after so many years and so many of these that have been told. I'm not really into, and I don't think, as we're seeing from box office numbers, audiences are into the horror Christmas stuff. But the action Christmas stuff.
Right.
Sign me up. All in.
That seems like a lot of people.
That's
enjoy
working.
It.
Like, that's working well.
This one also, you know, it had those overtones of they mentioned both Home Alone in that movie, and they also mentioned Die Hard.
Oh, nice. So, the little, little fourth
wall.
Yeah,
when he's
stabbing
into the Christmas the sack and pulls out Die Hard and throws it at the guy.
That's good.
One of the first fight
I gotta
scenes.
See it.
It's so good.
It's been on my list since last year to see. I'm watching it before Christmas, or maybe on Christmas.
Maybe on Christmas. There you go.
I highly recommend it.
That's cool. And thank you,
but also, it's not for the kids.
This
is not one for the kids. It has a lot of blood and gore.
Okay, there you go.
Yep. It's a kid's kind of achy. Again, Die Hard.
Taking a look at number 6 as we're going through the greatest Santas of all time, greatest actors to play Santa of all time. We have come in, of course, with Edmund Gwenn from Miracle on 34th Street from 1947.
Yes, this has got to be one of my top ones.
It's the classic.
He has that. There's something about Edmund Gwenn, you know, and he was a very a busy actor back in the 40s and stuff. He played lots of different roles, but for whatever reason, he was just perfect to play Santa in the way they needed him in that film. You know, that mischievous look in his eye, you know, and of course the perfect beard. He looked just like him, the way, you know, that that joy that he has in the face of skepticism and everything else. To me, he's got to be at least, he's in the top, probably one or two. I don't know if I could say definitively he's my favorite, but he's right up there.
The courtroom scenes in that movie with him were just, they were so perfect.
Yes.
I mean, he played that character in, you know, he's not in his Santa suit then.
No.
And he's just looks like a normal Joe and he's still Santa.
He's still Santa. Yeah. He doesn't, so many actors and great actors on this list, they need the costume. They need so much. They need the props. They need some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. In that those scenes, he proves to you right then and there, I'm still Santa. And you don't while he's not dressed as Santa, you still know he's Santa.
Yeah,
you don't. Totally. He didn't need a name tag. He to me, he is. I think this is one of those things that changes, or maybe it just grows as you get older. But he's always been Santa to me. And always will be. I would. There's some names that are going to come up on the list, and some others that I'm sure you guys are thinking of out there that have kind of been modernized a little bit. Like, this is a Santa that I enjoy. I like this guy as Santa. I like what they did as Santa.
Right.
The whole mold of Santa, though, begins with Edmund's performance.
Yeah.
And you both touched on my favorite parts of the performance. This isn't the way you would, like, write Santa. I don't think that he plays Santa the way you'd write him. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even he was written in the script. I think as an actor, he takes some liberties that now I associate with Santa.
And that could very well be, yeah.
If I were to meet the big guy, I would have not be surprised if he had a little bit of a mischievous kind of like,
absolutely.
Like to him. A little bit of his humor
the
was a little
twinkle in his eye. Yes. I mean, that comes from somewhere.
And I never thought about that as a kid until that movie. And I see him winking at the little girl in that. And, like it
that
just
little
gets
smile
you.
On his face, right? Yeah, it's perfect.
And I don't know how you, like, okay, I need you to go at about an 8 here. I need you to go at about a 7 here. Like, we do this with some stuff. With this, he does it perfectly. And I don't know, I would love to know more if the director and him worked on this together or something, but everything is perfect. Just the way it needs to be. Not too much, not too little.
You know, it's funny. I think at this time, you know, there hadn't been a lot of Christmas Santa Claus stuff. Maybe if they did show it, it was like in shorts and it was like over the top, super thing. So the fact that he made him like realistic, like this could be the Santa that you meet in the street kind of thing.
Right.
I think that's what got a lot of people was like, wow, you can actually believe he is Santa.
And that was where I kind of wanted to wrap with him on this. He was ahead of his time. Like now, that's what audiences want. They want a little bit of reality. They want it to be able to come. They want some fantasy in here and there, but they want it to hit home.
That believable fantasy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. He was doing it right there. Like back in 47. Yeah. That's amazing. At number 5, the one and only Kurt Russell with the Christmas Chronicles from 2018. One of the more modern Christmas Santas people like.
Some Except people. For Melissa. Some people.
Yeah.
Nope. This is another hard no for me.
Is it Kurt Russell or is it the movie?
It's Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just can't do it, huh?
No. Mm-mm.
I can understand that, but personally, I think he pulls it off.
Yeah.
And I think I would be, and I'm surprisingly enough, just the idea of Kurt Russell playing Santa at first is like, initial reaction, huh?
Yeah.
But I honestly think he does it. He's got the look. I think he can do it. And I think he's a good enough actor.
His beard is too curly.
Ooh.
His beard is, it's like, it looks like hair on your head.
Yeah.
And a beard. Who's got a beard like that? Nobody.
Kurt Russell does, apparently.
Yeah, did he grow that himself?
That's a good question. I don't know.
If it had just been the one movie, I think I'd agree 100% with Melissa. But I don't mind this so much because Goldie Hawn shows up, I believe. I haven't seen him. But like in the second or third one or whatever it is, I don't know how many there are.
At least two.
I know Goldie shows up in the real wife, the real combo of that along with it. And I am just a gigantic Goldie Hawn fan. So the idea of Goldie Hawn as Miss Claus is one of the most perfect castings I'll ever think of. Well, I could not agree with you more about Kurt Russell, Melissa. Goldie Hawn as Miss Claus is perfect casting to me.
And I like him in other movies. I really do. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of movies I've seen him in that I like him in, but him as Santa just doesn't do it
for you. It's kind of refreshing because I don't know that I hear most of anybody say much about Kurt Russell negative. And not to say you were saying negative, it just didn't do it for you. But or me either, because I agree with you. It's kind of nice, actually, a little bit. It's refreshing.
It's a little bit of a weird conundrum in my brain because, like, I picture him more in, I don't know, rom-com or romantic type movies. Yeah. Where I don't want to see that as Santa. However, David Harbour, on the other hand, I'm okay with him.
See,
as
now,
Santa.
Look at this.
I know. It's a weird cognitive dissonance in my head right now, Seth. And I don't know how to come to terms with it. So
it's funny how that works.
Pay for therapy for me.
It could be that David Harbour is closer to your age. Maybe I don't know. Maybe that's something to do with it. But
well, that's a conversation for another day, and not this show. So let's move on.
I see Kurt Russell and I see Snake. Right
the
away from
Blisken? Yeah.
So I want Santa with the eye patch. That's what I'm saying.
See, now he could. That would be a fun. That'd be pull that one off.
Hello, this is Pamela Hilke, the traffic director here at WFHR, and I'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
The Arts Council of Southwood County is ringing in the new 2025 year with a bang. Buy your tickets now for these talented performances. First, January 31st at 7:30 p.m., Jeff Allen's Are We There Yet? Comedy Show. Then Thursday, February 20th at 7:30 are the Bachelors of Broadway, Gentlemen of Theater. And finally, the smooth melodies of Billy Joel and Elton John starring Michael Cavanaugh. Tickets are available online at savorthearts.com, so don't wait. Get yours today and save your seat for cool vibes and hot entertainment.
Since 1992, DoorWorks Incorporated has been providing, installing, and servicing residential, commercial, and industrial doors and openers throughout Wisconsin. They're located right here in Wisconsin Rapids, and they're fully licensed and insured. All of their employees are certified, trained technicians that are trained to install and service all types of doors and openers. DoorWorks Incorporated wants to wish you and your family a very safe and happy holiday season.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
At number four, the great Tom Hanks from the Polar Express from 2004. I would like to see Tom Hanks playing Santa in a live action thing just to see, you know, because he's such a good actor and I can only imagine that he'd pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, I think one of the problems with the Polar Express, certainly the technology wasn't where it needed to be. And Zemeckis
was an interesting choice. Yeah.
He got a little ahead of himself on it and stuff and everything. Unfortunately, that all takes away from the incredible voice acting that Tom Hanks does in this because he's just as good as a voice actor as Toy Story has shown us and everything,
yeah.
As he is as a real actor, and he really nails all these characters he plays in it.
Okay, but for me, this was the one trailer that scored the lowest. The trailer's horrible.
It is.
It's an awful trailer.
No, they really messed it up.
It doesn't give you anything.
It's rough. Yeah.
I mean, and granted, I watched half of it in double speed, but that didn't matter.
No.
Although it was a little startling when the name of the movie popped on the screen, so it was like boom, 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 boom. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Polar Express just smacked me in the face.
Yeah.
Got it.
I think like a lot of things, they were well intended and just a little too early on this one.
It's interesting. It has become kind of a more cult classic Christmas movie because I remember when it came out. They, like you both have mentioned, I think they really messed it up.
The trailer,
not only the trailer, but I think the kind of animation that they used and everything. It was, I mean, do people remember how popular this book was? It was huge.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of just whatever it was that just the mistakes that they ended up making with it. It still became a popular movie, but it's kind of the butt of some jokes too because of the weird animation and stuff like that.
I mean, I do want to see it
because
while I thought the trailer was horrible, the fact that the book is so popular and I was kind of intrigued by what little bit of animation I saw in the trailer.
Right.
It wasn't much. But yeah, and of course Tom Hanks voicing it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fantastic in almost everything that he does. So, yeah, no, I would watch it for that reason alone.
You rarely see this, if at all. I don't know if there are any, even any examples I can give you of this, where a book is gigantic, it's huge, mm-hmm. movie comes out, and it actually brings down book sales. Like, you don't see, that's how bad this movie was. And,
right.
and to the point where this is, I'm sure that for some families, it's still a Christmas classic book and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not anywhere near where, before this, it's in the New York Times 10 bestsellers every Christmas. And
right, exactly.
I don't think it's there anymore. And I'm not saying it's just because of that, the movie being so bad, but it really hurt things. Really didn't help sales.
It really
you
did.
You know, I mean, they got a redeeming chance here, though. They mm-hmm. could make a live action out of it.
And yeah. I think they could do well by
lot
it. Yeah,
better.
And maybe bring Tom Hanks back.
He's willing
yeah.
to do it. Yeah,
I mentioned this before. You know, they're so quick to remake stuff. How about remaking some things that actually could use to be remade?
Great.
Like
great
you know,
point,
I mean, like
man.
Quick. We're gonna get to a remake in a little bit here and everything. But instead of remaking some of these classics and everything, how about remaking some of the stuff that didn't go so well?
They messed yeah. up yeah. on the first yeah. time around. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. At number three, the legend, Ed Asner in Elf from 2003. I love the idea of younger generations, what we were saying about Edmund Gwenn,
mm-hmm.
younger generations saying that about Ed Asner. Mm-hmm. You know, and yep. that's their Santa, because I've heard it. I've heard it from some young, not young people, but in people in their early, eight, you know, teens mm-hmm. or late teens, I mean, early 20s, that's their Santa is Ed Asner. And I just
totally
love that. I'm a big Ed Asner guy, and I mm-hmm. just really enjoy that he is kind of Santa for so many.
Well, as regular listeners of our morning show will know, I've never seen this movie, but I've also never seen the trailer. And now that I've seen the trailer, because I am not a Will Ferrell fan. Mm-hmm. I am not. I don't like the way, I don't like his comedy. I don't like the way he acts in movies. But I do want to watch this movie after seeing the trailer. However, Ed Asner does not appear in the trailer, so yeah. I can't comment on him as Santa. But knowing all the other roles that he's played, mm-hmm. I mean, he does look like...
Right,
you were saying
yeah,
like
yeah.
the perfect Santa.
I gotta say, Melissa, to your point about Will Ferrell, because that is something I'm also not his biggest fan as well. And a lot of his, you know, some of his comedy
the
movies,
dumb, funny movies.
Yeah,
I'm not
a big fan of those movies mm-mm. to begin with. This one, he plays it the way he needs to for sure, because it's over the top and he has to be. He is not for me in this. When I finally saw it, he is not the weak link in the cast, actually. Mm. And I think he actually does quite a good job with him and Zooey Deschanel and their relationship. They actually do. The character I have the most problem with casting was James Caan as his father. James and I have had that discussion before. We don't need to go into that. But in general, the other parts of the cast are great.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Ed Asner as Santa. You've got Bob Newhart as
Buddy. I never knew that
buddies.
Mary Steenburgen was in it.
Yes.
She's so good.
And she has
so
good in it.
She has a scene in there that may be my favorite she's ever done. Like, and that's saying something. This is directed by Jon Favreau well
yes.
before the
Very
Iron Man run
yep.
and mm-hmm. some of that stuff and everything. And you see some of that in this. I think
he's in it, too. And Peter Dinklage.
Yes. Oh,
yes, Peter Dinklage.
Legendary scene.
Oh, my God.
Legendary
That's
scene.
That's one of the best
that
scenes
was,
of the whole movie.
That was in the trailer. So
yeah,
I did get
yeah,
to see
yeah.
part of it.
I think that if you – everything is so dead on, Melissa. I think with Will's performance – like, if Will Ferrell only did one movie, this would have to be it.
Mm-hmm.
If he was only going to ever play one role, this would have to be it. Because his skill set is – I don't think it's perfect for any other character but this one. He's played a lot of characters, and mm-hmm. I've enjoyed a lot of his work. I am a fan of his. But I don't know that any movie he's at, I couldn't – well, I could see so-and-so playing this character. I can't see anybody else's Buddy the Elf. I can't see anybody else doing this. I couldn't see Robin Williams doing this role as well as Will Ferrell did. And I can't think of many bigger compliments I can
Ralph,
give.
Ralph, yeah.
That's a big one from you.
But I 100% get what you guys are saying about his comedy being kind of here, yeah. there, and stuff.
It's not a disparaging remark against his talent,
yeah,
because he's
yeah.
obviously very talented.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
there's no
is.
Questioning of that. It's just it's not personally my taste, which
I think if,
I'm entitled to, mm-hmm. Seth.
I think if you were going to say
no,
hey, you can, you know, you want to have somebody see one Will Ferrell movie, this is the one.
That's what I've heard over and over and over.
Exactly.
As, you know what? Yet I have not found it available to me on a platform that I can excessive.
Oh, right. Oh, that's interesting, too.
And I'm not going to watch a pirated one on Grabber or somewhere.
Yeah. A quick note on this, too, is interesting. It's one of those movies that was popular enough that they turned it into a stage show.
Yeah.
And then they went and took the stage show and they animated it, which is actually the first version that I saw.
Really?
Now, this is interesting part. To your point, James, about no one else being able to play Buddy, the animated thing, they did it's a musical, so they added songs and stuff to it. Ed Asner reprises his role as Santa. He does the voice of Santa in it, which I thought was really great. Now, Will Ferrell does not do the voice of Buddy the Elf, but here's the difference. Buddy the Elf that's in the musical is actually very different from the Will Ferrell. So it's
it works.
The theme is there. Exactly. It works. It's Jim Parsons does the voice of Buddy because he's a tremendous singer, of course, as well. Yeah. And he is a very good actor, but it's not the same. It's not the same Buddy. It's similar, but it's not. And that's why you can get away. Because I agree with you, James, that Will, I think that performance is very singular for Will Ferrell. But you can take the character and go in a little bit different direction, and it works for other people, too. Right
And that's a good thing that they can do when they do a musical versus the book or a musical versus
it's a
the
different,
movie.
It's
a different platform.
It's different.
It's a different,
exactly.
You can do a lot of different things with it.
So all you Wicked... I know Wicked's been fine. People haven't been complaining that much about it.
Right.
No, I don't think so.
No.
At number two, Sir Richard Attenborough from Miracle on 34th Street, the remake from 1994.
This one I absolutely adore. I
really,
yes, I love this movie. It makes me cry every time I see it. the cast on this one is just too perfect for me too. It's got what's her name? Mara Wilson.
Mara Wilson, yes.
As the little girl, and she's just too perfect in it.
Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, just real quick side note, Mara Wilson doesn't do much acting anymore. She's actually a writer and a creator, which I thought is really cool. She's I heard her. She's very extremely smart. She is very cool. Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of great cameos in this one, too. Isn't Allison, I want to say Allison Janney's in it for a second or something, and I just love her. And I'm not, more times than not, I will say I push against remakes of any kind, no matter who's in the cast or anything like that. There's something about the casting of this one that really did it for me. And all of us growing up with Richard Attenborough's voice and everything.
I mean, yes.
To hear it in that particular way. And for a lot of people, they didn't get to hear him act. That don't know him as an actor, know him as a narrator or something, or anything. I just a great performance. Performance by him. And Mara is some of the best child acting you'll see.
Yes.
Like, it really is.
Hands down.
She had a couple of like
Matilda.
Iconic. Matilda was the other iconic role that she had when she was a child actor.
Oh, I'm familiar.
Yeah,
my sister loved that movie.
Richard Attenborough, by the way, yes, also a tremendous film director. Gandhi, a couple of other very, amazing films that he directed. Yeah. Most people will remember him from, of course, Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. That's probably his biggest acting role.
Yeah.
That he was physically in, but all of his voiceover work.
I know,
too.
But he did so many, like you said, documentaries and everything.
All the nature,
the Planet Earth ones, and all that stuff. Yeah,
don't get better than that.
But he is. He's one of the few people who can do that role without, it's going to be hard not to think about Edmund Gwynn in that role because of how iconic the performance is. But because he's got that great voice and he's got the look, he can pull off Santa.
He
can do it.
For some reason, it's the rounded face to give you that classic Santa look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never thought of that. Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting.
And anyone can grow a beard, right?
Right. Anyone.
But it's
almost anyone. mine comes in a little straggling.
Tell me about it.
I love that you mentioned Alice and Janie. I think that was the first movie I ever saw her in. And I could see her performance even though I haven't watched this movie in years.
Mm-hmm.
She does such a good job.
It's amazing. She's amazing.
She is good.
Do you guys have any outside the lines you want to mention before we get to number one?
Go ahead. Do you have one?
I didn't look. Guys.
Oh, that's
come
right.
On.
Sure,
I crammed
sure.
one whole movie and nine. Well, nine.
You did your part.
Yeah, right. I did my part. I did my
you
research.
You did your part.
I'm going to give an honorable mention to a voice So, of course, there were many actors who played Santa in, like, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all those animated classics from the 60s and the 70s. I'm going to give mine to Mickey Rooney, who does the voice of Santa in Year Without a Santa Claus. He does a tremendous job with that. He sings a couple of songs for us. You know, Mickey was the biggest star. No, I'm kidding. But he does, no, nice. He does such a great job. He does it with Shirley Booth, I think, does the voice, her last for final role, who does Mrs. Claus and has a big part in it. By the way, I would recommend that because I know for some people that was a big special that they watch every year, including my wife. I never saw it when I was a kid. For whatever reason, where I lived, they never played it. So I got to know it afterwards, and I have to say I really like it. Well, and that's part of the reasons why I think that Mickey Rooney is very good in that. So Year Without a Santa Claus, another Rankin Bass production. Yes.
Other actors that have played the role over the years, Bryan Cranston in The Santa Claus. You had Kevin James in Elmo's Christmas, John Goodman in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Leslie Nielsen in All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, dear.
Christopher Plummer in Blizzard.
Oh, dear. Christopher Plummer? Wow, well, he was a versatile actor. He could probably do it.
Fred Astaire, George Wendt, Chris Elliott, Tim Conway over the years have played the character. Tracy Morgan played the character once. The great Art Carney, Lloyd Bridges have all played this character.
Oh, my God. I got to mention the Art Carney one. That's from an episode of The Twilight Zone. Yeah. And it's one of the best episodes they ever did.
Oh, yeah.
It's an amazing one where I don't know if I should spoil it or not. It's a 60 years old. Yeah. Do it. He's a homeless guy and an alcoholic. And he finds a bag and it goes from there, basically. He finds out he's actually someone he didn't realize he was.
The writing on that show.
Oh,
my God.
It's called The Night of the Meek.
The Night of the Meek. Yep.
Season 2, episode 11.
It's an amazing episode.
Wow, that was the second season.
Okay. Yeah.
They just bangers.
1960, yeah.
Almost every episode of the joint.
Art Carney's such a... Oh, my God. Everyone knows... Such an underrated actor. He was so good. And everyone just remembers from The Honeymooners.
Yeah. Thankfully, he had a couple roles late in his career that I think stood out. But yes, 100% you're right.
But it's the iconic mall Santa fake beard look.
It is. Because, he plays a down on his luck Santa, you know, that trope. Yeah. But it turns into something different. Yeah, it's really cool.
And a number one on the list, Tim Allen from The Santa Claus from 1994. I don't know what it is about his performance or what it is with this movie, but people love Tim Allen as Santa Claus.
They do.
They really do. These movies, they're that popular where they kept making them. Yeah. And they might even have another one coming out.
In the last couple of years, they've made a Christmas series.
Yeah.
On Disney Plus.
That's right.
With a whole universe now. It's like the whole Santa Claus universe. Like, so
I personally wouldn't put it in my top 10, but it doesn't matter because enough people have to where, you know, they just keep making these.
I'm with you on this one. There's nothing wrong with his performance as Santa. Not at all. It's perfectly, but I don't consider it that because it's hard to forget he's still Tim Allen, you know?
It's still
Tim Allen doing his shtick, right?
Yeah. Like a lot of comedians, it's no different from Tim Allen from Home Improvement or Tim Allen on Stand Up and Night at the Improv. Like it's the same Tim Allen I've seen my whole life. And again, nothing against that. He's making a great living at it.
Yeah.
But it's not really like these other performances we're talking about.
And I would push back on that just a little bit and say he leans into that.
He uses
that in this movie because he's a reluctant Santa. Mm-hmm. He kind of got it thrust upon him, like, put on the suit. And
that's a great point.
They'll take care of the rest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and then there's him in his boxers and in the Santa suit. Not exactly what you expect to see as Santa.
That's right. And they're fun movies to watch. Yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. They are fun. They're entertaining,
the
for sure.
The comedy in there is really good.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, you know, he shaves his beard off and it pops back. And it's just like...
Right. I mean, the concept is hilarious. Yes. The concept is great.
The concept is, I think, what really wins it over. And he does, because he is a comedian and he's an actor, I think that he pulls it off well enough, obviously, to be number one.
Yep.
where I don't think that a lot of other actors could do the performance he does in this because of so much of what you're saying there,
it's based
Melissa.
On him. It seemed more on his of comedy.
It's so true.
Which is a great which is a great point. Yeah.
And for the people who are, you know, big fans of him, obviously they're going to like it. And for people who are, you know, maybe borderline, it's like, yeah, you know, it's okay. He does all right. I like it. It's good enough.
Which is a big portion of his fan base that falls into that already. So it just is goes right into it. And I think it's one of the first times, I think part of it's not just his performance, but part of the concept of the movie too, that is so like engaging and pulls you in and is relatable almost. Even if you don't celebrate Christmas, you kind of watch it, you're like, okay, well, I know if this was thrust upon me. And the some of the more funny holiday comedic bits are the beard coming back and some of that stuff. Like, that's really good.
That's absolutely fabulous.
And as far as, you know, like his IMDb page, there's not a whole lot of other like big, you know, big hitters for him outside of some of the voice acting he's done.
Well, and Buzz Lightyear, he's been tremendous. He's been very good with that.
He's been fantastic
as well.
Got
to give him a lot of credit for that. And I have to give him credit just because, on a little side note, once more, because we do that on the show, right? if you want to see him actually do some, the only time he really does some acting, by his own admission, by the way, Galaxy Quest.
Yes, yes.
That is the one time.
I have not seen that.
You got to see that. That one I actually recommend for you.
When
I think you'd like
he
that one.
Gets praise from Mr. Alan Rickman, who went into that movie with a very low opinion, actually, of Mr. Tim Allen. And he showed him something there. He wrote, because Alan Rickman kept a diary, which is now available for people to read if you want to. It's you see the progression of Tim Allen. And, you know, of him becoming, and then he writes this, actually very, seeing what happened to Alan Rickman when he passed away, a very moving tribute to Tim Allen in there of how he finally got it. And that moment that he got it, it's really cool. So, not Christmas related, but you got to throw
that it's
in
a great note. I'm glad
and
you
I'm going
to
throw it there too for Richer or Poorer, which maybe doesn't hold up so well in today's world, but you know, him and Christy Alley, it was kind of funny. It was funny, and I enjoyed it in my preteen years.
Hey, any movie that Melissa's willing to talk about. That's good. That's a win.
Thank you, Seth.
This was a
touched.
This was a blast and very touching. Director's cut. Melissa, thank
Seth
you
was
so
nice
much
to me.
Thank you so much for hanging
it's
out.
It's the Christmas spirit.
We need to do this every time.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Hot. That's not where the money
thank
is,
you for
dear.
Having
that's
me.
Not where the money is. All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap up the show. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we had recorded several poems and a couple of stories for Christmas for our Elf Call Center, and I think it would be great to play them right now when we come back on Director's Cut.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The holiday wind and rain in the Pacific Northwest and snow in the Northeast. CBS meteorologist Bill Kelly adds,
fairly comfortable temperatures around, say, Houston, 70 degrees, 58 for Dallas, with some showers rolling from the Gulf right up through the Midwest.
Protests in Panama today after President-elect Donald Trump's threat to demand the country's canal be returned to the U.S. CBS's Kelly O'Grady also reports,
Chinese companies are investing in the canal infrastructure and manage control of two of its five ports.
Blake Lively accuses her It Ends With Us director and co-star Justin Baldoni of sexual harassment on the set. And now Baldoni's ex-publicist wants it known she was not part of an alleged plot to smear Lively. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
I think in a way the floodgates have opened. And now once Blake Lively came forward with her allegations, then other people feel more comfortable coming forward with theirs.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Hi, this is Tim Hubble, the Polka Guy here, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas from all of us here at WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, few foggy areas, lows upper teens to near 20, and more clouds for Christmas Day, a high in the low 30s. Mild ahead with a slight rain chance later Thursday, better rain chance for Friday and Saturday. Highs in the upper 30s Thursday, low 40s Friday and Saturday. Right now it's 22.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
At some point, you'll need to take money out of your IRA and 401k. What should you know about these mandatory withdrawals? First, they're called required minimum distributions, or RMDs, and you must start taking them when you're 73, or if you were born in 1960 or later, 75. RMDs apply to your traditional IRA and 401k, but not your Roth IRA or Roth 401k. The amount you take out is based on your account balance and age, but if you don't take out the required amount each year, you could face a 25% penalty. You can withdraw more than your RMD each year, but keep in mind that your withdrawals are taxable. When you inherit an IRA or 401k, you still must take RMDs, but you typically must take out all the money within 10 years. After you've started taking RMDs, you must do so by the end of each year. So, if you haven't taken them for 2024, you may need to act quickly. Learn as much as you can about them. You'll want to make the right moves at the right time. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And the stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. And the children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Well, away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. Well, the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes did appear? But a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. Well, more rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. And as dry leaves are before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. Well, as I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. Well, he was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. And a bundle of toys he had flung on his back, he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. Well, his eyes how they twinkled, his dimples how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. For he was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. But a wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. For he spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. And he sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew, like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all! and to all, a good night.
Song of the Holly, William Shakespeare. Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. Thy tooth is not so keen, because thou art not seen. Although thy breath be rude, hi-ho, sing hi-ho unto the green holly, most friendship feigning, most loving mere folly. Then hi-ho, the holly, this life is most jolly. Freeze, freeze, thou bitter sky, thou dost not bite so nigh as benefits forgot. Though thou the winter's warp, thy sting is not so sharp as friends remember not. Hi-ho, sing hi-ho unto the green holly, most friendship is feigning, most loving mere folly. Then hi-ho, the holly, this life most jolly.
Was the night after Christmas in Santa Claus land, and to rest from his labors, St. Nicholas planned. The reindeer were turned out to pasture and all, the 10,000 assistants discharged until fall. The furry great coat was laid safely away, with the boots and the cap and its tassels so gay, and toasting his toes by a merry wood fire, what more could a weary old Santa desire? So he puffed at his pipe and remarked to his wife, "This amply makes up for my strenuous life. From climbing down chimneys my legs fairly ache, but it's well worth the while for the dear children's sake. I'd bruise every bone in my body to see these darlings delight in a gift-laden tree." Just then came a sound like a telephone bell, though why they should have such a thing I can't tell. St. Nick gave a snort and exclaimed in a rage, "Bad luck to inventions of this modern age." He grabbed the receiver, his face wore a frown, as he roared in the mouthpiece, "I will not come down to exchange any toys like an up-to-date store. Ring off, I'll not listen to anything more." Then he settled himself by the comforting blaze and waxed reminiscent of halcyon days when the children were happy with the simplest of toys, a doll for the girls and a drum for the boys. But again came out the noisy disturber of peace, the telephone bell. Would the sound never cease? "Run and answer it, wife, all my patience has fled. If they keep this thing up, I shall wish I were dead. I've worked night and day the best part of a year to supply all the children, and what do I hear? A boy who declares he received roller skates when he wanted a gun. And a cross girl who states that she asked for a new Victor talking machine, and I bought her a sled, so now she thinks I'm mean." Poor St. Nicholas just looked at the picture of woe. He needed some auto-suggestion, you know, to make him think things were coming out right, for he didn't get one wink of sleep that night. The telephone wire kept sizzling hot by children disgusted by presents they've got, and when the bright sun showed its face in the sky, the Santa Claus family was ready to cry. Just then something happened, a way of escape, though it came in the funniest possible shape. An aeronaut, slowly in need of a meal, descended for breakfast, and it seemed quite ideal. For the end of it was, he invited his host out to try the balloon of whose speed he could boast. St. Nick, who was nothing if not a good sport, was delighted to go, and as quick as a thought climbed into the car for a flight in the air. "No telephone bells can disturb me up there. And, wife, if it suits me, I'll count it no crime to stay up there till I'm ready for next Christmas time." Thus saying, he sailed in the giant balloon, and I fear he will not return very soon. Now when you ask Central for Santa Claus Land, she'll say, "Discontinued," and you'll understand.
So now is come our joyful feast, let every soul be jolly. Each room with ivy leaves is dressed, and every post with holly. Though some churls at our mirth repine, round your brows let garlands twine, drown sorrow in a cup of wine, and let us all be merry. Now all our neighbors' chimneys smoke, and Christmas logs are burning. Their ovens with baked meats do choke, and all their spits are turning. Without the door let sorrow lie, and if for cold it hap to die, we'll bear bury it in Christmas pie and evermore be merry.
A holiday wish. When Santa Claus doth visit me with richly laden pack of toys and tumbles down my chimney to scatter round his Christmas joys, I trust that he will bring the kind that can be shared, for it is true, past peradventure to my mind, that joy is better shared by two. I never cared for solitaire, I do not pine for lonely things. I love the pleasure I can share because of all the fun it brings. A selfish pleasure loses zest with none to share it with you by, and shrinks the longer 'tis possessed, while joys divided multiply.
Keeping Christmas by Henry Van Dyke. It is a good thing to observe Christmas Day, the mere marking of times and seasons, when men agree to stop work and make merry together, is a wise and wholesome custom. It helps one feel the supremacy of the common life over the individual life. It reminds a man to set his own little watch now and then by the great clock of humanity, which runs on sun time. But there is a better thing than the observance of Christmas Day, and that is keeping Christmas. Are you willing to forget what you have done for other people and to remember what other people have done for you? To ignore what the world owes you and to think what you owe the world? To put your rights in the background and your duties in the middle distance and your chances to do a little more than your duty in the foreground? To see that your fellow men are just as real as you are and try to look behind their faces to their hearts, hungry for joy? Own that probably the only good reason for your existence is not what you're going to get out of life, but what you're going to give to life. To close your book of complaints against the management of the universe and look around you for a place where you can sow a few seeds of happiness. Are you willing to do these things even for a day? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to stoop down and consider the needs and the desires of little children? To remember the weakness and the loneliness of people who are growing old. To stop asking how much your friends love you and ask yourself whether you love them enough. To bear in mind the things that other people have to bear in their hearts. To try to understand what those who live in the same house with you really want without waiting for them to tell you. To trim your lamp so that it will give more light and less smoke. And to carry it in front so that your shadow will fall behind you. To make a grave for your ugly thoughts and a garden for your kindly feelings, with the gate open. Are you willing to do these things even for a day? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to believe that love is the strongest thing in the world, stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than death, and that the blessed life which began in Bethlehem 1900 years ago is the image and brightness of the eternal love? Then you can keep Christmas. And if you keep it for a day, why not always?
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on this Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Join us on Tuesdays for Community Stories and Thursdays for Community Stories Junior, both from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WFHR. Your host, Melissa Kay, brings together folks of all ages from our community. With history from our elders to innovations from our young people, Community Stories brings in-depth local stories you won't hear anywhere else right here on WFHR. Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 5 to 6.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
And its 98,000 dealers present Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents a special program for this holiday season. The unusual dramatization of 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, starring Miss Greer Garson, who appears by arrangement with MGM, producers of the new color picture, Knights of the Round Table, in CinemaScope, starring Robert Taylor, Ava Gardner, and Mel Ferrer. Good evening. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking.